For our scripture reading, we'll be in Mark chapter 6. So open your Bibles with me, just a few short verses today. We'll start in verse 30. This is Mark 6, verse 30. This is the word of the Lord, and it is eternally true. The apostles gathered together with Jesus, and they reported to him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while." For there were many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. They went away in the boat to a secluded place by themselves. The people saw them going, and many recognized them, and ran there together on foot from all the cities, and got there ahead of them. When Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd, and he felt compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. This is the word of the Lord. All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray that you would bless us, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've been reading through the book of Mark, and today we see the heart of Jesus, the good shepherd, caring for the apostles and caring for the people. As their shepherd, he sent the apostles out, and he calls them to rest, and he himself feeds the flock with his word. Every part of the passage shows us what it means to live under the care of the good shepherd. The first thing the apostles do when they get back, Jesus sent them out, they come back, and Jesus, just like we should do with our children when they come back from school or come back from a trip, right, is, what happened? How did it go? What did you experience? Tell me about it. And this is one of the joys of living as a Christian, is that we're all under the same shepherd. We all have the same boss. We all have the same directive and purpose. And so we get the opportunity to work together. Just hearing the work that you're doing in Albania, how different is it from the work that we try to do here day in, and week out? Sure, the culture is different, the dress is different, the food is different, the language is different, but the purpose? This is what we should talk about when we gather. When we gather together for teas, and we gather together for coffee, and we gather together for meals, and putting up hay, right? All these things, this should be pervasive in our conversation, is what is the work that the Lord's doing in and through us? This is our privilege as Christians. We have been bought with a price, and we now have the opportunity to be ministers of reconciliation to those around us, to our neighbors, to our children, to our children's teachers. This is our opportunity. Now, in my prayer, I mentioned Kenton Farwell's passing, and I just think these are the kind of things that open up the door to really effective and powerful work of the real hope that we have in this life. It's not just a generic something. It's not just a hope in positive thoughts and feelings. It's not even just a hope in good community or good morals or good behavior. It is the reality that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. It is the reality that he, Jesus, conquered sin and death, and he truly lives. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and there is a solid, sure hope that we can all have, that we must all have. Otherwise, what hope is there in this life? It's the specific hope grounded in the reality, the historic reality that Jesus died and rose again. And it's in that resurrection that we all have the hope that death is not the end. Now, I say we're to share hope and we're to share our our encouragement and our convictions. I don't want us to think that we need to prattle on all the time and never shut up, right? One of the things, they had a gathering yesterday for some of the high school students to sit and to talk. And there was prayer, but there was a side room where the sister of the young man who passed away was with a couple of her girlfriends, and they mostly just sat and sniffled in silence. And honestly, when someone's grieving, when someone has lost, often that's the best thing that you can do for them, is just to sit with them and be a comfort, be present. To not, you know, there's truths, there's important truths that she's going to need to hold on to in the days to come, that the parents are going to need to hold on to in the days to come. But the reality is, in that moment, when you've lost someone, when you're suffering and you feel that pain so acutely, you're not trying to ration things out and reason through things. You just need the comfort of another soul. Maybe a quick prayer, maybe a comforting word, but not, be careful. Our words can sometimes be trite and glib, and we should be careful how we use our words. There's a time just to be together, right? So when you share the hope of Christ, remember that you're pointing wandering sheep back to the shepherd who laid down his life for them. Because when the apostles finish the report, Jesus says, let's go find a place to rest. This is Jesus caring for his people. Right? The shepherd not only sent them out to do their work, but he also cares for them in their weakness. Right? We can't go nonstop. Hopefully this is a little bit of a rest time. I know you have to prepare and present and travel, and that's hard, but hopefully we all find times to rest. Jesus gives this rest because he himself is our Sabbath. Teaching and caring for others, that's exhausting work. Jesus knows what they're out there doing because he was doing that with them. He was preaching and teaching, casting out demons, healing, all of it. But Jesus is not opposed to work, and he's not opposed to rest, right? From the beginning, from creation, God created man and set the example that man is to work for 6 days and then rest for a day. This is a part of creation. And then as a part of that, to reinforce that, came the Sabbath commands. But the Sabbath command didn't come first. It was God's example of creating the earth and everything in it in 6 days and then resting for one. And so Jesus looks on his apostles, on his disciples, and says, oh, you need to rest. Let's go off to a secluded place and let's rest. Not because our life should be characterized by leisure and excessive resting, but because we need that kind of a thing from time to time. But what's funny, what happens, and it's one of those funny things in Scripture, is that they no sooner jump in the boat and get ready for their little rest, and what happens? Everybody shows up, right? It's like if you go home after a hard day of work and then you find out that your wife has invited 12 people over for dinner. And you're like, oh, okay, I guess we're doing this tonight, right? The people saw them going and many recognized them and ran there together on foot from all the cities and got there ahead of them. Right? I mean, that's funny, right? They didn't even get the landing time. Like, they didn't even take the short, like, the people that wanted to be taught beat them there. And so they arrive, and the work's right there. And here's what Jesus does. When Jesus went ashore, verse 34, he saw a large crowd, and he felt compassion for them because they were sheep without a shepherd. And he began teaching them many things. Now, we have to stop for a moment to orient our minds. This is Jesus. This is Jesus, the creator of the universe. This is Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus, who was with the Father before creation. And he sees these people show up. And he's not grumpy, he's not angry, he's not indignant that they would show up and ruin this little time of rest that he had set aside for the apostles. He feels pity. He feels pity on them. And not like, because pity is kind of a hard word, right? Who here wants someone to feel pity for them? None of us, right? Like our feathers get ruffled whenever we think that someone's feeling pity for us. It's not a pity of disdain or contempt. This is real pity. Pity because these people are like sheep that have no shepherd. And it's not like, oh, you know, I just feel bad for them, but I'm going to go along my way anyway. I mean, this is the compassion, this is the pity that brought Jesus to earth in the first place, right? I mean, he was sent for a reason. This was the plan. This was the goal. He was going to the cross. Out of what? Not out of self-aggrandizement. He already had that. He went out of compassion. He went out of compassion for us, that we needed to be forgiven, that we needed to have our sins forgiven. That was the only way that he could buy people back for himself, that we could be restored and reconciled. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now, throughout Scripture, the defining characteristic of sheep is their attentiveness and willingness to be led and shepherded, right? I mean, we know this about sheep, right? What distinguishes a sheep from a goat? What do the goats do? Do the goats hear the shepherd's voice, and what do? Pretty much whatever they want. Yeah, right? I mean, like, we don't get goats because my fences aren't good enough. My fences are barely good enough to keep cattle in. So sheep are different, though, right? We had a sheep one time, and that thing would get out, and he would just sit in our backyard, and he would run after you and follow you, and, like, he just liked being around people. He knew his shepherd. And it's just one sheep, so it's a little silly. But, you know, the idea is the same. The goats, on the other hand, the goats, what do? They hear the shepherd's voice and, meh, they go their own way. And this is also in contrast to the wolves, right? Because the wolves, especially the wolves in sheep's clothing, they might look like a sheep, but they don't care much about the pastor's voice, the shepherd's voice. To the extent they do, it's a fearful thing that they want to run away from. They don't look to the shepherd's hand to be fed. What do? They run away from the shepherd because their food is the thing that the shepherd's trying to protect. It's the sheep, right? They don't depend on the shepherd. They want the shepherd to be gone, to be looking the other way. That's how they get access to their meal. Jesus looks out and sees sheep without a shepherd. What did the sheep need? And what's the problem about not having a shepherd? Well, there's lots of problems. Shepherds feed, and shepherds protect, and shepherds lead. And Jesus looks on them, and he decides what the thing that they need right now is to be fed. But not yet fed with, you know, real food, with bread, right? You're all smelling the turkey downstairs, right? Your stomach, your gastric juices are starting to flow, your saliva is starting to go. You're ready to get downstairs and eat turkey, okay? But Jesus, he's going to feed them with bread. He's going to give them the thing that they want. But first, he's going to feed them spiritually. First, he's going to give them his word. Look at the end of verse 34. Jesus' compassion drove him to teach. The shepherd feeds his sheep not first with bread, but first with the word of life. So why do you come to church? I think a lot of us, I'll spread it out to you know, maybe here, but certainly a lot of us in this area, we come to church because it's our habit, it's our culture, it's the thing we do. It's hard to be respectable in rural Northeast Kansas without being a regular church attendee, right? It's the respectable thing to do. But coming to church must not just be out of habit or social responsibility, but because the shepherd calls his flock to hear his voice. That's why we come to church. When the word is preached, Christ himself is tending his sheep. This is why preaching is central to the Christian life. The sheep live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus shows us that this is a matter of highest importance. He sees these people. He sees them floundering. And what does he want for them? He wants them to hear the word of God. The sheep's greatest need at that time was for Jesus to teach them. And he didn't just teach them one thing. It wasn't just like a quick little three-point lesson. It was many things, right? It was many things. He saw them and he knew their frame. He knew their weakness, but he knew what they needed most. So come hungry. Come to church hungry. Not for entertainment and not for routine and not for fellowship and not for food, although sometimes you get food too, right? But for the shepherd's voice that gives light. The good shepherd. The head shepherd. The opportunity that I have as a pastor and that the elders have here is under shepherds that you fathers have in your homes. It's under shepherds. You are responsible. You are under authority. But it's the authority that flows through from Christ, that flows through, that he has given. He is the shepherd. We are his sheep. He sends us out to minister, and he gives us rest. This is what the good shepherd does. He shows compassion and he feeds us with his word. Our hope, now this is important, our hope is not in our work, right? If this church is 10 people, our hope is not in our work. Our hope is in his care for us. But he doesn't just care for us to have us sit there and be lazy, to be sluggards, right? That was our Sunday school lesson. He's called us to be active about his work, his care. The same compassion that he felt at that time for those people, he continues to feel now for the people here in Morrill and the people in Albania and the people to all the ends of the earth. And so we are to be active about his work, not to earn our salvation, not to earn our good standing with Jesus, but because he has done this for us. He has bought us with a price. He has redeemed us and reconciled us and restored us and given us his spirit. And now we have the opportunity to labor faithfully, resting in him, trusting in him that we plant and we water, and God is the one who gives the growth. So we listen for his voice. Apart from the shepherd, the sheep perish. But under his care, there's life. There's abundant life. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us to trust you, the good shepherd, that you have made a way for us, a way through Jesus Christ, that we might be reconciled and we might be made right with you so that we can work for your good pleasure. Father, we're grateful that there are times that you give us rest, and we're grateful that you lead us and that you feed us by your word and with real food, and with bread, and with fellowship. These are all good things. These are all good gifts from our good Father. Help us to be grateful for this. Help us to lift up our voice and our love for you. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.